the God that said, let there be light, and there was light. And he framed the world. He separated the waters. He separated the air and the ground. And he placed every star. We can't even fathom the number of stars in the universe, but he knows where each and every one is. He placed them there. He knows them by name. He knows the number of hairs upon our head. He cares enough to feed the sparrow, as Pastor Meyer spoke this morning. That same God, he knows you and he loves you. And he died on the cross for each and every one of us. And I'm just so thankful for his mercy and grace. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. It is such an amazing honor to stand before you behind this pulpit. I'm just so excited what God is doing in this church and in our lives. And I'm just so excited to be here tonight. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in my life. Sometimes I just feel like I don't deserve his mercy and grace and all of his blessings, and I'm so thankful. I'm just super impressed with all the young people that were involved tonight, all the musicians and all the singers, and I'm super impressed with Stephen and Sterling. Man, those guys are awesome. They're way ahead of where I was at their age. Just get every one of them just an appreciation. Thank you, Jesus. I should just have them come up here and help me out. But I'm very excited and honored to be here. Obviously, these guys and these young people are products of an amazing pastor and youth pastors that were before me, and I'm just so excited to grab that torch and to move forward into what God has for us. And that's our theme for the youth group this year, moving forward. I'm sure it's been used time and time again, over and over, throughout different ministries, throughout different churches, but we are moving forward. And it fits for Lauren and myself. We're moving forward into a new chapter of our lives, living in a new city, a new home that we're so thankful for. We're embarking on this new journey, this new chapter in our ministry. And it fits the youth group as well. New youth pastor, new year. And I might be wrong, but I think last year's theme was growth, grow. And in order for us to grow, we must move forward. In Genesis 26, and this is just a pre-sermonette, in Genesis chapter 26, it speaks of Isaac, and it said he grew into a great man. But right after that, it said he went forward and grew even greater. So despite already being a great man, he went forward, and he wasn't content where he was at. He went forward and gave it his all, and he became even greater. And we're moving forward into what God has for us. Throughout Scripture, throughout the wilderness wanderings, God always just told them to move forward. They came to the Red Sea. They couldn't turn back. They couldn't go to the right or to the left. God commanded them, move forward. And through obedience and through that first step of faith, God makes a way where there was no other way before. And I'm so excited to be part of this church. It's my mission to just show these young people a model of Jesus Christ, to show these young people how to put him at the center of their lives and to grow into mature Christians, healthy, strong members of the body of Christ. And I want to equip and empower them to fulfill God's potential in the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that process. And I'm so proud of each and every one of these young people here tonight. If you would stand for the reading of the word, I wanted to make mention, Brother John Proctor will be preaching Wednesday night. You will be blessed by his ministry. And of course, we'll be over in the gym, young people. Ezekiel 46, I'm going to read verse 9. Ezekiel 46, verse 9. I wanted to make mention of our friends Caleb and Ashley Wofford for coming tonight. They're close friends with Brother Chad and Sister Sandy, and a great friend of mine, Caleb. We were roommates in Bible college for a couple years, so I know the good, the bad, and the ugly, but he knows the good and the bad and the ugly about me too, so we'll just say the good. He's better than gold. I'm so thankful for his friendship. Ezekiel 46, verse 9 says, "But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by way of the north gate shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it." Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to come into your house. We're so thankful for your mercy, your grace, your kindness, and your unconditional love. We thank you, God, for your spirit. I pray that you have your way tonight. Let us be sensitive to your spirit and sensitive to your word. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we love you, God, and we worship you. Give them a hand clap of praise. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. The spiritual principle that I believe that God is teaching his people in the scripture, and he's teaching us today, that you don't have to leave the same way you came in. He's teaching us that you don't have to leave in the same spiritual or mental or even physical condition by which you came in. You can leave a different way. He forbade his people to exit the same gate they came in. And you can do the same tonight. You can leave out of a new gate of victory, a new gate of blessings, a new gate of purpose, a new gate of anointing and direction. You don't have to leave the same way that you came in tonight. And church, if you have an encounter with God, you won't leave the same way you came in tonight. So I'm here to preach to you tonight about an encounter with God. You don't have to, y'all have heard the saying, you don't have to get good to get God. You get God to get good. Church, you can come into this place, no matter your situation, no matter your background, no matter what you're going through, God accepts you in his loving arms. And we as a church accept anybody with our loving arms, and he is going to do an awesome work in your life. Amen? You can come in lost and leave found. You can come in blind, whether it's physical or spiritually blind, and you can leave with sight and with direction. You can come in here perplexed and confused, but you can leave certain with a made-up mind. You can come in here full of sadness and depression, and you can leave with a fullness of joy. The Holy Ghost is joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can come in here chained up by addiction, but you can leave delivered. You can come in here broke, busted and disgusted, but you can leave healed, saved, and redeemed. Church, you don't have to leave the same way that you came in. Jesus is in the house, and he can do the impossible. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what your disease is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Our God is almighty. Our God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending, and I'm here to encourage you to hold on, to move forward, to press on. God will make a way where there seem to be no other way. Amen. If you believe that God can do the impossible in your life tonight, give him a hand clap of praise. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to leave the same way that you came in. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. Don't take this opportunity for granted. Get what you can from God tonight. Let me share a story, and we've all heard it, and you probably haven't heard anything I'm going to say. You've probably already all heard this, but let me talk to you about a man in the Bible that had an encounter with Jesus Christ that completely transformed his life. I'm going to stay here for a while in Mark chapter 10. So if you want to, you can turn your Bibles to Mark 10, verse 46. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. I'll read Mark's rendition in chapter 10. It says, "They came to Jericho," speaking of Jesus and his disciples, "and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They told him to be quiet, and he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it said, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he rose, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He said, what do you want me to do? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I like that last line of that last scripture. He followed Jesus. He didn't just have an encounter with God. He followed God after that. It's more about a one-time experience. There's a process. There's a walk with God. But the first thing that I want to mention of this passage of scripture is what he was referred as. He was referred to here in the scripture as blind Bartimaeus. And in my study, I've learned that Bar means son of. So, therefore, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So he wasn't even referred to by his actual name. He is just referred as the blind son of Timaeus. He's defined by his condition. And I'm wondering if there's anybody here tonight, you're just sick and tired of being defined by your condition. You're tired of being defined by the state that you are in. You're tired of being defined as a mess up, as trouble, as an addiction. You know, you're tired of being defined by your condition. Blind Bartimaeus, he was a no-name. He was a nobody. He was a poor, begging, nameless nobody. But church, it doesn't matter who you are. You can get the intention of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and he can transform your life. Do y'all believe that tonight? It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday or who you did it with, what you messed up doing. God loves you, and God can save you, and God can transform your life. Amen? So despite who he was, and despite being told to be quiet, he got the attention of Jesus that day. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they told him to sit down and shut up. But that didn't stop blind Bartimaeus that day. He cried even louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Church, he didn't let anything or anybody stop him or silence him from having a life-changing encounter with Jesus that day. There were no excuses. There were no regrets. There were no constraints. He was desperate, and he was going to get the attention of heaven that day, no matter what he was going through or no matter what they said to him or about him. He wasn't going to let this situation or this opportunity pass him by. And let me encourage you tonight, don't let this opportunity pass you by. See, blind Bartimaeus, he was desperate, and desperate times call for desperate measures. Desperate people are a little bit crazy, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get their answer. Whether whatever it is they're seeking, whether it's drugs or whatever, they're desperate. They'll do whatever it takes. But blind Bartimaeus, he was in a desperate situation, and it didn't matter what they said or what he was going through. When you cry out in desperation, you get all of heaven's attention. The scripture says Jesus stood still. Verse 49 said Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called him, said, arise, be of good comfort. He's calling you. And what did he do? He rose up, he cast away his garment, and he came to Jesus. He cast away his garment. He was willing to get rid of anything that would hinder his mobility, hinder his motion. He was willing to get rid of anything that would come between him and Jesus. And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that you are willing to get rid of some stuff in your life that's going to hinder your deliverance, that's going to hinder your salvation, that's going to hinder your walk with Jesus. He wasn't willing to let anything slow him down or stop him. He threw off his garment. And church, there's some stuff that you can get rid of here tonight. Let me tell you, you can get rid of depression. You can get rid of addiction. It's time we put dignity aside, pride, shame, embarrassment, and condemnation, because Jesus is here, and he's come to give you life and life more abundantly. See, the casting away of his garment was significant because it identified him. It identified him. It identified who he was. He was a beggar. This was a beggar's garment. But he knew after his encounter with God that he would have a new identity. He would no longer be a beggar. He would leave that encounter with God changed and transformed into a new man with a new identity, a new person, a new outlook, a new purpose. Church, God can transform you. He can change the direction of your life. It was an act of faith to throw away the garment because he knew that he would no longer need it. He knew after his encounter with God that he would leave changed. He knew that Jesus could heal him, and he knew that Jesus would heal him. Do we have any believers in the house tonight that know that God is in the business of reversing the irreversible, that God is in the business of making the impossible possible, for he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us? Amen? I like what Jesus said to him. He said, hey, what do you want me to do to you? What's your need? I'm pretty sure it was obvious that he was blind. But I think that what Jesus was doing here was saying, do you really believe that I can heal you? His answer to Jesus was that I might receive my sight. It was a public affirmation of his faith in Jesus. Church, let me ask you the same tonight. Do you believe that nothing is impossible for the Lord? Faith without works is dead. Do you believe that you can leave this place different, changed, and transformed? Church, if you have a sickness, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. He is the great physician. Church, if you feel lonely, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's as close as a mention of his name, and that name is powerful. If you need direction, he makes a way where there seemed to be no other way. If you need provision, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Nothing is too hard for God Almighty. Amen? Jesus. If you need something from the Lord tonight, don't sit back and be quiet. Be like blind Bartimaeus and be bold and proclaim your faith in God, for he is able. You know, you may have prayed the same prayer over and over and over, and you're getting weary, and you think God may not be able to hear you, or God doesn't care about your needs. But let me encourage you to keep praying, keep pressing. Maybe pray a little bit harder. Maybe pray a little bit longer, and get desperate with God, and act upon your faith, and don't leave this place the same way you came in. He was desperate. To be desperate means to be reckless or dangerous because of despair, hopelessness, or urgency. To be desperate means having an urgent need or desire. It's making a final, ultimate effort, giving all. He cried even louder, Jesus. It was all or nothing. He wasn't going to let Jesus pass him by. Another story of someone in a desperate situation who refused to stay silent was a little boy. You may have heard this story. It was circulating social media a couple years ago. There's a story of a little boy. He was 8 years old. He got kidnapped out of his front yard one day in Atlanta, and he was tied up and he was thrown in the back seat of his captor. And what did this little boy begin to do? Despite being in this horrible situation, this scary situation, there was really no hope. He was on the road to despair, to God knows what, an evil ending, a horrible ending, a dark ending. But what did this little boy do? Despite being captive, despite his situation, he began to sing praises to God. They sang it this morning. He began to sing that song. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Church, that kidnapper began to curse and yell at that kid, telling him to stop singing, telling him to shut up. And that young boy kept on singing no matter what for 3 straight hours until finally the kidnapper, the enemy, had enough of that praise and he let the boy free. And the boy credited his freedom to praising God. Despite being tied up in the back seat of a car, he sang, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on, church, he's saying, sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Come on, church, despite your situation, you can praise God. Despite being told to shut up by the enemy, you can praise God. Don't let your situation silence your praise. Don't let the enemy silence your praise. No matter what you're going through, you can break free with your praise tonight. Come on, church, can we give God praise despite our circumstances? Give God control. Don't let the enemy drive you around controlling your praise. You can break free tonight. You can break free from chains of addiction. You can break free from the darkness of depression, of anxiety. He can give you joy. He can give you comfort. He can give you freedom. Jesus is in the house tonight, and I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by, for he is able. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the captain of heaven's army. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. He is mighty. He is magnificent. He is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Come on, church, we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. He is able to do the impossible. He is able to make a way where there seemed to be no other way. He can reach out into nothing, grab a doorknob that wasn't there before, turn it and open that door and make a way for your life tonight. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let me ask you a question tonight. How will you respond in the presence of Jesus tonight? Y'all know the story. The lady had an issue of blood for 12 long years. She's visited every physician in town, and it only grew worse. She spent all her money. There was no answer. I'm sure she was told there was no hope, there was no deliverance, there was no healing. Just go home and wait to die. But what'd she do? She heard Jesus was in town, and she responded to the presence of Jesus. She was not going to let this opportunity pass her by. See, Jesus, he was on the road to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. Hey, nothing can stop Jesus from healing you. Amen? He may have other plans. Jesus is on the road doing something else. Hey, but all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. In Mark chapter 5, Mark depicts, he paints a picture of a large crowd. They were bumping into Jesus. There were other people there in the presence of Jesus. And I'm sure that this lady with the issue of blood wasn't the only person that had a need. But in this passage I read, she's the only one that got her healing until Jairus' house. So despite there being all kinds of people bumping into Jesus and touching Jesus, despite there being other needs in the crowd, I'm sure only one truly touched Jesus that day. What will you do? She was desperate and determined. What will you do in the presence of Jesus? You see, some here in this scripture, some crowded him, some rushed him along to Jairus' house, but only one truly touched him that day. Church, will you just be part of the crowd that doesn't get anything despite being in his presence? Or will you just hurry him along going through the motions? Or will you truly touch him? Will you have a life-changing, transforming encounter with Jesus Christ? She had this disease for 12 years. And according to Leviticus chapter 15, this disease was contagious just by touch alone. Therefore, her decision to touch Jesus was an audacious, bold decision. It was an act of daring faith. It was out of the ordinary. It was desperate. She said in her mind to herself, if I could just touch him, I would be made whole. She had a great need and recognized that only Jesus could meet that need. You see, what she did, she conceived her victory within her mind before it happened, but she didn't stop there. She acted upon her faith. Faith without works is dead. She said, if I could touch him, and she determined in her heart and in her mind that she was going to press through the crowd and touch him no matter what. And I'm sure people knew who she was. She had this disease for 12 long years. And I'm sure people told her to go back home, don't touch anybody. I'm sure they were maybe appalled by her or even maybe disgusted or afraid of her. But it didn't matter. She didn't care what anybody else thought. She was going to do something out of the ordinary and act upon her faith and touch Jesus. Church, we need to learn to be bold, audacious, and daring. And don't care what other people think of our worship, of our prayer, of our praise. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and that he seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Church, don't let anything or anybody stop you from having an encounter with God tonight, because there's no telling what he'll do in your life. If you need a mental healing, he can heal you mentally. If you need a physical healing, he can heal you physically. If you need freedom from addiction, he can deliver you. I believe that. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, he can give you the Holy Ghost. If the musicians would please come. You know, Jacob, he had a great future, but he had a bad past as well. He was a deceiver, a liar, a thief. He had a bad name, a bad reputation. And he heard that his brother Esau was coming, and he was afraid for his life. He had made mistakes and had done Esau wrong, and he was afraid of the circumstances. So he sent everyone ahead. And there, he had an encounter with God. He was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And he prevailed not against him, and he touched the hollow of his thigh. And Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And I'm sure after that, he didn't walk the same way he walked. He was different after his encounter with God. And there, he said, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to stop fighting until you bless me. And he asked him, what's your name? He said, Jacob. And he told him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Church, they're about to sing and play. There's a difference between a touch and an encounter. Jacob truly had a life-changing, transforming encounter with God that gave him a new identity, and he was tired of being labeled, and he wanted to change. Are you tired of the same mess? Are you tired of the same label? Are you tired of the same sin, this vicious cycle? Whatever you're going through tonight, will you be like Jacob and refuse to let go until you receive your blessing? Refuse to let go until you receive your answer. Refuse to let go. And hey, you may just be praying for a lost loved one tonight. Be like the lady of an issue of blood and conceive that victory and praise God as if they were saved. Praise him in advance. Let's all stand tonight. I had one point with four different illustrations, and it was repetitive, but I just want you to know that God is in this place, and he is able to meet whatever your need is tonight. And I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by, and let me encourage you here tonight to do the same. Don't leave this place until you receive it. You don't have to leave this place the same way that you came in. You can leave with joy. You can leave with direction, with purpose, with peace, with your healing. Come on, church, these altars are open. Let's come to the front in faith, knowing and believing that we are not going to leave the same way that we came in.
Our backs were against the wall.